the one thing I think that people don't do enough is make an honest assessment of your business's strengths and weaknesses. Figure those out. Sit down and ask people what our strengths are. Sit down and ask people what your employees, what our weaknesses are, and then focus on both. Get better at the strengths and do more of those and fix the weaknesses.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast. And once again, my news co-host, Chad Peterman, is not here. He's absent. You know, he's had more sick days than I can remember since high school. He's out doing a business, you know what? And when you're running a big business like that, things come up and you got to roll. And I get that. So, but the good news is because our guest is on here, I don't need him because we've known each other quite a long time. And it's exciting because, we were talking about this before the podcast, you know, he kind of flies under the radar a little bit too, but he's built this amazing, amazing organization, built a big business. He's been in the game a long time. But it's exciting to kind of be doing one of our first lives and moving forward. We want to do a lot more of these podcast episodes live. I think it's fun to be able to interact with some of those that are watching and listening. And we didn't really promote this one because we'll probably have some bugs to work out this first time around. But I'm excited to have my friend Ken Haynes on here. He's the chairman and CEO of The Wrench Group, also known as Kenny The Wrench Haynes. If you were at Rhino X this past year, you know where that name came from. Also owned a teeny tiny little company down in Atlanta called Cool Ray, if you've ever heard of them at a time. And then one of the old school Blue Dot guys, you know, back in the late 90s, ouch, early 2000s, days, the Blue Dot days. But hey, look at where we're at today, baby. That's what we're looking for. We're focusing on the Wrench Group and all those amazing brands you have and the thing that you guys have built. And it's been cool to be able to get to know you over the years. And shit, you guys have like multiple brands that we've worked with at Rhino in the Wrench Group family, whether it's Collins, Collins Comfort or Abacus or Berkey's Plumline, Williams Comfort, all behemoths, like all great, fantastic brands with a lot of great leadership in there too, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But for the listeners as well, Ken is definitely in our legends category in the home services space. And thankfully you've been to, I think, three of the four Rhino X. I think you only missed one.
Yeah, I think did you miss right. one? I was traveling one year. I bailed that's out, right. I think, last minute. Wife
that's right.
vacations without letting me know. You know how it is.
But you never, yeah, because you had like, yeah, I gotcha. And but that's the only one. You've been to everyone and supported it. And I really appreciate you showing up and being there. So, but you actually have done a podcast. We've done a podcast together before, but it was early on. I think it was in like season one, which was back in 2020. I think that's the last time you've been on as a one-on-one guest. So maybe what we can do is, for those who don't know who Ken is, let's just kind of, I don't think we need to go deep down a rabbit hole. Just kind of talk about what you're doing today. Ken, maybe give me an update on what Wrench is doing today. Like, what are all things happening in Ken Haynes' world today?
God. I don't know. I'm just a blind squirrel trying to get a nut. It's been a fun year and a half, man. The whole ride's been great. You know, Wrench started in 15, as you mentioned. I back in Atlanta, bought that business from Blue Dot back in 2003 and grew that. And there was an opportunity with Paul Kelly and Alan O'Neill, as you mentioned, those two guys, friends of mine and knew them well. And we just decided to put a couple of businesses together and had a small private equity involved, and shortly thereafter hired a banker and sold it, and off we went. And so it's been a heck of a ride. So, from three brands to 28 or 30 brands, knocking on 30, 15 states today. About 8,000 employees, knocking on 8,000 employees.
Holy shit.
A lot of trucks running around taking care of people, hopefully. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's been a challenging year and a half. You know, obviously the industry's it's been tough, but it's resilient and it's a great space. So it's things are going good.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that later, just from your perspective. I mean, for those listening, I mean, again, been in the industry a long time, certainly a leader in the industry, has a lot of the leading brands in the industry in the Wrench family with a lot of really smart people who also been in the industry a long time. So like a really great resource for you to learn and understand things from maybe a different perspective. But you have 8,000 some odd employees now amongst all the brands. That just tells me that you have, or anybody listening, you have a bunch of monster brands, lots of trucks. That's kind of been like the avatar for you guys. Is that kind of a larger?
You know, our strategy's been I don't want to say unique. You know, it's been 8 years now, so it's probably not unique anymore. But you know, we think of it as a partnership, and we look to You know, as we look at a market and we look at a potential partner, they don't have to be the biggest necessarily in that market, but we like scale. And so, you know, as we look at Phoenix, for example, Parker and Sons is one of the two brands there. Collins, you mentioned, you know, it's a big brand. We just we like being able to scale businesses. It's just a little bit easier. And so we typically like to partner with businesses that are, you know, top three in terms of size in the market. You know, it costs a little more to do that because they're sales are bigger, the EBITDA is bigger, and so you pay a little more. But you know, it's easier to us. We've figured it's easier to grow a business when you have some scale and process and everything else baked into the business already. It's worked well for us. And so now, having said that, you know, depending upon the size of the market, you know we've done some smaller acquisitions and partnerships as well over the years. So it's kind of been a mixed bag, but you know, we really focus more on organic growth and use, you know, acquisitions as kind of icing on the cake. If there's a company in a market we just have to partner with because it you know checks all the boxes and it's just a great market, we'll stretch and get it done.
Yeah, because I mean, it sounds like you guys probably still meet with quite a few, but they have to check all the boxes. Like, there's a non-negotiable for you that's like, if they don't check these boxes, and maybe there's some random like variable that, you know, some outlier variable, but they have to check these boxes to even really be considered to be a part of it.
They do, and really for us, it's all about the partner, right? I mean, because we do operate as a true partnership, and so we want to make sure that, you know, we're the right fit for you. You're the right fit for us. We're aligned in how we think about things. You roll equity in the Wrench, so you continue to be an owner and come along for the ride with skin in the game. Yeah. And you know, we work closely together. And so that's obviously really, really important when you're partnering with someone to make sure you know them well and you feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. I think it's important for listeners to know, like, you know, yeah, we're talking through this cause it is interesting to just hear, you know, what the Wrench strategy has been, you know, but what I need you to hear is, there's so many of these big, huge companies who've obviously learned how to grow and scale these businesses, whether it be HVAC, plumbing, electrical, whatever. And Ken also had one of those big businesses too. And so he's kind of seen it from different levels. I want you to from some of the next questions to learn from his tenure and his skill and his time of being in this industry and leading it and seeing kind of all the different things from the blue dot stuff all the way up to where we're at today. We've been through a few little swings. So with some powerful brands, are you guys at Wrench still looking at different partnerships? Like, are you still in that phase?
We are. I mean, things obviously have slowed down over the last 18 months as a result of, you know, interest rates. Right. And, you know, it's gotten more expensive. You know, the way private equity backed businesses like ourselves work is you go out and you raise capital, you raise money, you borrow money. And you know, you get to pay interest on that money, right? And a few years ago, the interest was a couple of percent. Now it's
money was a little cheaper.
So you know, it's gotten tougher to and the industry has struggled a little bit with you know some of the challenges. You know, sales are flat to up slightly for a lot, and EBITDAs as a result are down. So you have a combination of you know lower EBITDA with higher interest rates that drives multiples down and. You know, expectations don't necessarily change, you know, from where they were a couple of years ago. And so it's, you know, it's frankly, I mean, a lot of the bigger businesses, you know, the space has been so aggressive. Yeah. Private equity has been so aggressive in the space over the last 8 years that a lot of the bigger, not that there's not a few left, but a lot of the bigger businesses are gone, right? They've partnered with folks. And so, there's less fish in the pond, and add to that just a challenging, 18 months for a lot of folks. And so it's definitely slowed things up.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I've been a part of that, as it was a lot of my customers, right? Yeah. have been a part of these partnerships, and I'm happy for them, by the way. And some of them are still clients today, which is awesome. So I've kind of gotten to experience them pre and post their private equity partnership.
And you know what? And you know what's great too, Chris, is it's such an interesting, and I mean, I just love this space. I mean, I've spent 45 years of my life in it, and it's just, it always has been, regardless of all private equity, who owns like 10% of the $150 billion, space. So still fairly small, but it always has been, my opinion, and it always will be, a mom and pop space, right? It's such an easy, the barriers of entry to get into this trade outside of a trade license are very, very low, right? And so it's very easy to start up. So, I mean, for every company that's acquired, there's 10 that start up that day, right? It's just, so it's always going to be that way. And it's so fragmented and so big that there's always going to be a ton of opportunity for everybody. And so it'll be interesting as this phase of PE slows down a bit, by design, or maybe just by the situation we're in with the challenges with the economy and maybe some pull forward business, et cetera, it'll rebound and more companies will grow over time, and it'll happen again, right? Replenish the stock, if you will. And so it's just a great space.
Yeah. And what's been interesting too, is I think you talked about this at RhinoX earlier this year, but it was, there's also some new players who've come into the space because of the lift that they got during the COVID years, but they haven't, maybe you stopped paying attention to a little bit of the blocking and tackling because the growth was just coming.
Yeah.
And so they built these top line revenues up, and then they're like, now what? Now, like you talked about call it the last 12, 18 months, if they've been
challenged. They have a lot of overhead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And debt, maybe, a lot of overhead, maybe not enough staff, whatever. There's just but we're noticing holes in the bucket. So those are perfect case scenarios to me. That seems like if you have great leadership and great processes and systems and good, bargaining power with your OEMs and all the things, those are great ones that you can snap in. But I want to go back to one quick thing, and that is, we talked about some of these blue chip businesses that are a part of Wrench Group. I'm so lucky to have been able to work with some of them, like the Alan O'Neills at Abacus, and Berkey's and Collins out here in Phoenix, and even Williams Comfort Air. I've never worked with Parker, but obviously I know Paul Kelly really well and Josh as well. And I love these guys. You have is exceptional leadership at these companies. And I loved at RhinoX this earlier this year when we had PK and Bancroft. Gosh, Bancroft. We got many compliments on that. That guy is, you have some. So what I wanted to ask you is, you have such exceptional leadership. Not just yourself, Kenny, but you have such exceptional leadership there. What is it about this group of people that's making them so successful? Are you finding that these are the traits or the characteristics of these guys that you're noticing that kind of across the board? What is it that's making these guys so exceptional to grow these businesses?
Hey, Chad Peterman here. I've been all in on Blue On for quite a while now, and it's not just me. Contractors all over are seeing similar results. Tony at Just In Time Heating says their support calls dropped immediately once they rolled it out. His techs get reliable answers from Blue On's AI faster than what they get from the OEMs. And their parts guy, he's loving it too. It's made his job way easier. They're saving time, solving problems quicker, and feeling more confident in the field. Blue On's just become part of the process. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Click the link in the description and book a quick demo. You'll get it.
Sorry for the interruption. To the point, listeners, have you heard of Rilla? Are you using Rilla yet? If not, are you for Rilla? See what I did there? Rilla is the leading speech analytics software for the trades. It is on a mission to bring physical ride-alongs to an end. You can coach your reps with virtual ride-alongs now that are 100 times better, faster, and much more efficient than the physical ones. All you got to do is use the Rilla, Rilla. That's R-I-L-L-A, Rilla.
You left a couple more off. Take a guy like Kevin Comerford in North California, another rock star stud. I mean, we've got some really, we're really fortunate. We've got some really good people, and they're still here, right? And they're still working. Some moved on to other things within the organization, but for the most part, they're here. They're still contributing, and they're helping develop others within. And so that's been great. But I think the answer to your question, I think, you know, first off, they're all really good operators. I mean, they've been in the space for a long time. They're really good operators. They're not afraid to fail, right? So, fail fast, the term we like to use. You fail, you fail fast, you move on, you figure something else out. So they're not afraid to take chances, right? I mean, they take risks, they take chances, they fail fast, they move on. And they're not afraid to differentiate, be different. How do you break through the clutter and differentiate from your competition? And I think maybe the most important thing that I see as I work and talk to these guys is this, their sense of urgency, right? I mean, it's getting things done now versus, waiting. I mean, the tough decisions that you have to make at times to run these businesses and to have a successful business, you got to make tough decisions, right? And you can't, you gotta have a sense of urgency. You can't put off, because most people put off tomorrow what you can do today. It's not putting off. It's a sense of urgency. So I think that's it. I mean, it's just it's that sense of urgency. It's the willingness to take risks. They fail, you pick up your bootstraps, you move on, you learn, and off you go. And I think, there's a lot of other things that they've learned over the years around operations. But I think those are, if I think about all the names we just mentioned, that's a common thread amongst that group. For sure.
Yeah. And I should have mentioned Kevin. Kevin's great. And by the way, I have Kevin. I asked Kevin to come and speak at Rhino X in 2025.
Uh-oh.
And he's great. So he'll
be careful what you wish for.
He'll be coming to his first one.
He missed his calling. I mean, we put on a big event every year called the GOAT Awards. And it's a way that we recognize, just incredible performance across all of Ranch, and we bring everybody, and bring like 500-600 people into Vegas, and we do, it's done really, really well. And we bring their spouses and such. And so, and he's I get up, we speak, we have also other speakers, and he gets up, he's the host, and he's the star of the show. He enjoys it.
We did a podcast I think it was maybe early last year too, and it was so good. And it was the first time I've actually spent some lengthy time with him, and it was awesome.
Smart guy, really smart guy. Yeah.
So the one thing that you have to do in your position that might be a different view than maybe some listening right now, just based on where you're at in the mountain and the climb and and where your businesses are at. Like, when one of the common questions when we would do Q&A on the Legends panel that they would ask you guys is, hey man, what would you have sold your businesses sooner if you knew now what you knew then? Everybody's answer was yes, but you don't, because you then learn another level of how you can grow and scale something that you didn't know before, or maybe just didn't have the right leadership or know-how to scale a business. Perfect example. I didn't know until I started hanging around with you guys a lot more and the different groups. So I'm like, wait, I can scale this thing even bigger with help. Like, wow. By bringing on a partner. Great. Because I didn't know what I didn't know. So, part of what you have to do as leaders is be thinking ahead, not just a couple steps ahead, but down the road, what's coming. So are there any trends or anything that you guys are focused on or paying close attention to in the market, in the home services market, anything that you guys are paying attention to that's kind of forward thinking or just trying to keep an eye on that you'd be willing to share?
Well, I mean, I think, from an operations standpoint, just running the business and trends around, I think there's a lot coming down the pike. I mean, I think we focus a lot around customer experience. How do we figure out how to provide a better customer experience? And a lot around marketing technology. I think there's opportunities. This industry has always been slow to change and adopt technology, right? I think Service Titans has helped a lot with what they offer today. But it's just been slow. AI, there's things that are coming that I think will help our businesses provide a better customer experience. as well as provide operators, you know, more insights to the business. And that's something that we've been working on around a digital transformation for years. It feels like it never, we never get there, right? But we, it's just a lot, it's a lot too, and it's painful. But so I think, you know, AI is going to be interesting as to how far along AI comes and impacts our space. I think there's definitely some opportunities around AI, not only to impact and affect the customer experience and help us, you know, provide a better experience, which leads to more sales and maybe sticky relationship, but also, you know, back office admin, you know, what can we, what, you know, what roles can we automate, right? How do we get a little skinnier, if you will, in terms of admin, right? You know, today there's a lot of manual administration done in our businesses. And so, and in the space in general. So how do we automate, digitize more and automate things? And I think AI will definitely play a role in some, and training as well. You've got Rilla on your screen, right? And so, you know, it's, you know, I think that's all. I think we're still a ways away for it really is indoctrinated, but it's coming.
Yeah. You were an early adopter in AI before like all the AI chat was happening at Wrench. And you, you know, you see on the screen, you kind of mentioned Rilla, and we have Chirp on there as well, but there's some other AI tools that people are using that are like, they just got first to market. And, yeah. And then you got to know how to integrate the thing and how to use it. Like Rilla is only as good as a person who's following up on using the coaching or, but you know, somebody has to own some of this stuff too. And you got to keep in mind, like, you know, I've been in this digital marketing game for home service. You know this, Kenny, in this game. Now, this is my 17th year of working with home services businesses.
Getting old.
See the gray hair?
I see it.
I'm wearing the hat so I can hide it.
I know.
But what I've always tried to do is try and stay ahead of the game and try to be the, like you guys are doing this, you know, try to be first to market with something and try it and fail and then, you know, break it and then redo it and try it again. And all these different AI tools is like, you get so much stuff thrown at you. Like, what do you use? What do you do? And I've seen, you know, I get, you know, if you can imagine, I get pitched everything under the sun to come and be a partner of sure. Rhino, because I have so many contractors attached to us and it makes sense for them. I have to make it make sense to me. So the volume of AI stuff has been thrown at me, and I've started to see some like front runners, which is people I believe in, that maybe people I know that are running businesses are having success with. But there's always one like key piece of this, and that is somebody's owning that. Like somebody's owning that process with that AI tool, so that way it's being used properly. But are you guys using that across all brands? Like, are you bringing in some from others and like attaching them to the other brands? Like, is that what you're doing with AI tools now?
So we have not rolled out a lot of AI. We've rolled out more MarTech, more marketing technology around our data lake, and trying to get our customer data around insights smarter, right? So we can get in front of them more often around, you know, with respect to email and texting. It's complicated though. I mean, it's complicated. We've got locations that have used, you know, other tools. I mean, and just like you, I mean, our locations get hit, you know, 10 calls a day with the next shiny object that they need to onboard. And it's like, before you know it, you've got 1,000 APIs and tools, and you're using the same type tool from 10 or 20 different providers. Like, okay, well, can we figure out what the best tool is and then all agree to go to that tool? And rather, you know, you got to onboard, you got MSAs, you've got boxes around privacy and cybersecurity. I mean, it's complicated. And the states are getting more complicated, making the as you know, all this stuff. I mean, you know, the rules now, California, of course, leading the way around, PPRA, or I forget the acronyms right now around data privacy. But, you know, it's coming to a state near you, and it's just getting more complicated, and the fines are getting bigger if you're not, you know, following the regulation. So we're careful around it, but we've got a lot to go. We've got a long way to go. I mean, we're nowhere near where we'll land in terms of AI and all the tools that we're investing in to roll out.
Yeah. I didn't even think about all the individual brands getting blown up and then blowing you up with a bunch of different stuff coming to you with a bunch of different ideas.
But we've got a lot. I mean, I think to answer your question, we've got a lot of people. When I think of our organization corporately, you know, we have, call it 75 people supporting the wrench organizations. Out of those 75, you know, 60% of them are IT and marketing folks. And we're not running marketing from here. Locations still manage, you know, they own the last mile. You know, we help them with digital and stuff. But so it's a lot of focus around building out the tools and the partnerships and figuring all that out. And it's a huge time suck. And but we think we like the direction. You know, you got to be able to switch and make a right turn and change and you know, be fluid there. But a lot of effort in that area.
Yeah, I just feel like somebody has to own it. You know, we just made a hire that was AI. Their only focus is AI. Like, what and filtering it. Like, how can we use it? Will you go to Pantheon at all, Kenny?
You know what? I and it's in Florida this year, I believe. I can't. Yeah. I've got a conflict, so unfortunately, I'm not going to be there.
That's okay. Not a big deal. The only reason I was asking is, like, I mean, obviously, I have. It's like a gathering of all the. You know, in regards to the biggest events that are out there, I think it's the best big event that's out there. The best smallest.
I've been to several of them, and I think those guys, Ara and Vahe and company, they do a great job. They really do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when we were kind of talking, you know, Ara was at RhinoX this past year too. I keep dropping that. It just happens to be, you know, where it's at is, you know, when I did my deal and brought on a private equity partner, it was part of the growth plan, but I needed more help on technology to move faster with people, with organization, with capital, you know, to move faster on these things. And seems like everything that's in AI is moving at like lightning speed right now. So I need somebody to come in and run that process and own that process. And I think you've learned this about me over all the years, but I've always tried to run my business, thinking about how can I be at the forefront of technology for the contractor. I've like hung my hat on trying to be that. And if I did those things and I ran the business good, I took care of the employees, I tried to be an early adopter on all things, whether it was apps back in the day, building apps for contractors, which was a great idea until building apps became a massive pain in the ass. But I've always tried to be a forward thinker and an early adopter of technology. And I'm going to say, like, I fell behind on it, you know, because you're going through my, you know, through diligence, my God, it was a 14-month process and you take your eye off the ball a little bit. So I had to like reinvest back into it to build that out. And we're making a pretty big announcement at Pantheon. That's going to be all the hard work the last, you know, 14 months of me trying to figure out, how awesome would it be for a contractor or any of our private equity partners if I could in real time show every single pay-per-click lead that came in, the cost per lead, the cost per customer acquisition, the booking rate for that lead, who was the give the CSR assessment for the person answering the phone real time, and then tie the revenue back to it, whether it was sold or if they went and proposed the revenue that didn't close, it's still tied back to the lead source. Like it's everything that you need to see end to end. Well, that requires a little bit of automation.
Yeah.
And the automation to be correct.
Right.
So, but I didn't want to build all the things, you know, so, you know, we created a partnership with Chirp because I think it really helps on going back and chasing down some of those leads that are pending, you know, or proposals that are pending. I like Rilla because I love the coaching aspect of it because we don't ever really know what they're saying, but when you can go out and use a, you know, Rilla to record that and you actually using it as a coaching tool, not like I'm keeping an eye on you tool, I think it's really effective. So to me, that's what it's like to be a good strategic partner. You know, like the days of just digital marketing being a lead gen company are so far gone for the elite business.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've been chasing down. It's just there's so much shit. So somebody has to own that AI process to make sure like that it's all kind of being not only vetted but done properly.
And the technology is coming like a freight train. I mean, it's changing, you know, seems like it changes every day, which we're just at the beginning. And so it'll be really interesting to see how it influences what we do. It's going to influence for sure. Right. I don't know. I don't have my crystal ball, but it's gonna shake things up for the good, right? And it's gonna help operators become better operators and get more business, and again, better experiences and insights, which for us is important. But
yeah, well,
good for you, man. That's awesome. I mean, we work on a lot of the same stuff around data and trying to measure. I mean, you mentioned digital. I mean, it's not the same. I mean, no, what's changed with PPC and LSA, and Google has, and you probably have better insight than I do on this, but they've socialized it. They've literally socialized LSA.
Yep. But if you remember, because you were an early adopter in this, back when it was Google Home Services talking 2014, 2015, the way that we thought this thing would play out is exactly how it's playing out. The difference between paid ads and local service ads, what they call it today, is playing out exactly as we had seen it play out. But you're absolutely right. It has been socialized. It's not as valuable as it used to be. It's still valuable. Like, don't hear me say it's still valuable. It's just not as valuable as it used to be. And
it's gotten more expensive. It's gotten a lot more expensive, right?
It has. So you have to just manage those leads. You know, you got to make sure that you're really paying attention on those expensive leads.
Yeah.
So I want to shift gears for just a second. How much time am I into this? We're half hour into this. Okay. I want to shift gears for just a moment because I do want our listeners, who don't know some of these things. And I love it whenever I have one of the OGs on the podcast ask these questions to see what are the things that you're paying attention to. I always like to try and share some negotiation tools. And I think somebody asked this. I think somebody asked this at one of the last few Rhino X's, but I love the question because, it could be something as simple as going in and negotiating your credit cards, because everybody's trying to look for some way, because shit's gotten so hard that it's we're all looking for ways to maybe save a little bit here or be more efficient here. But, and I understand from your perspective and where you're at, you have a little bit more leverage on some of your negotiations than a contractor might have. But what are maybe some negotiation tools that contractors have right now, whether it be with their OEMs or suppliers or financing or rebates or anything like that? Is there any little nugget that you can share that won't get your hand slapped on negotiations for some of these contractors?
I'll be honest with you. There's not a lot these days. I mean, the OEMs have said, take it or leave it. I mean, it's very, very different. I mean, we work with just specifically HVAC manufacturers. Prices are up. I mean, with inflation and supply chain, I go back to the COVID years. It's incredible. I mean, prices to consumers are up 30-40%, in the last, 4 years or so. And now you have all these regulatory changes and OEM pricing's going up, and, buckle up, because you've got more coming. I mean, look, the bigger you get, the more scale you have more leverage. And so,
right.
You should try to leverage. I think, whether it's parts and supplies, how you purchase anything, you should be looking at ways to kind of, aggregate some of those purchases. We don't spend a ton of time on it, frankly, because it's difficult to do. And markets are so different, and what people purchase are so different, that it's a big undertaking. Things like vehicles. I mean, we consolidate our vehicle purchases. We consolidate, insurance and stuff like that. We help our locations around with the OEMs to leverage our scale to get better pricing, maybe move folks. So we do that, but we don't have someone in a role today sitting behind a desk that's just going out and going, okay, we buy, 8,000 of these copper fittings. How do we get a better price on, we're not doing that yet. We've always focused on top line. I always felt there's more benefit focusing on organic growth, high double, 15, 18, 20, 25% growth year after year. Also tweaking your margins to get to a bigger bottom line. I thought that would add more value creation to the organization than, pissing everybody off who wants to sell their brand of equipment and their brand of copper fitting, pump or whatever, to save a couple of bucks. Yeah, maybe we could have put a couple million in our pocket, but what's 20% growth on 2 billion in sales? How much is that to the bottom, right? A much better way to focus people's efforts. And so But there's opportunity. I think the bigger opportunity right now, things got harder, right? I mean, you know, as you think about how easy it was to sell in 2021, even 22, and then 23 comes around, and you know, we go from being order takers to now you got to really have some selling skills. The world's changed, and you know, you make a lot of you have all these. The other thing I think happens too is you have, you know, 3 years of this, you know, dynamic, incredible growth, and you make investments in the business because it's going to continue. And then the growth stops and you've got all this overhead you've added, whether it's investments and tools or systems or bigger buildings or, you know, bigger trucks or more trucks and more people and more personnel in the back office. And you go from 15, 18%, 20% growth down to, I don't know, 4, 5, 6. And so now you got a problem. Now you have to, you got to really get smarter and start digging out and right-sizing the business because, you know, this moat, you know, this, I think where we are right now is going to be here for another couple of years. I don't think this changes until probably very early as 26, maybe 27, as you look at the amount of pull forward business and, you know, a lot of that's been taken. And so, you know, I think it's going to be difficult. So, I mean, I think you really got to work on the business to right size it. I don't mean just get, like, whack a whole bunch of people for the sake of whacking people, but I think you got to be thoughtful around, you know, probably going to be in this growth pattern for the next couple of years. At least that's what all the smart economists are saying. And I think you got to prepare for that. So, I mean, and I think there's actions you can take and need to take to do that.
Yeah, I mean, actually, there's a couple of really good nuggets that you put in there for our listeners. So thank you for talking about that. I think it's good to have, as a listener, to have or to hear from somebody else who's been in the industry a long time, who has had a business of scale, and that it's tough for you too. It's tough for everybody. And if you're not seeing the growth that you were seeing the previous 2 years, well, I think that's far more common than you might think.
Oh, it's very no. I know. You know, it's super common. I mean, I you know, you look at the OEM numbers, and we have data. I mean, we work with folks that, you know, we obviously we're very curious as an organization when it comes to share. Yeah. You know, are we continuing to take share in our markets or not? Right. So there's ways to get that data. It's not easy. You can triangulate a couple different things and come up with that answer. And so, you know, you continue to spend, and marketing's got more expensive, right? If we just talked about digital, so marketing's more expensive for less business and more overhead. So it's put some pressure on companies for sure.
Yeah, I think that you can still do this. You know, when I try to think through some of the other negotiating tools in regards to marketing, is, you know, with some of your OEMs, this might not be so profound to some of you listening, but some it will be. Is, you know, you can negotiate getting paid out on your co-op up front based on an increased PO order, purchase order, you know, for your OEMs. Like there is some leverage that will give you some cash to spend on marketing like that. You know, I feel like it's easy to say credit cards, but there's still a lot of people, Kenny, that don't know to go and negotiate your credit cards or to switch cards to something that gives you same, you know, like cash back or something like that too. Like little changes like that can go a long way.
For sure.
And I do know that there's with some of the OEMs, some of the manufacturers, that you can go in and renegotiate your a deal with them to get that marketing cost up front, as long as you hit you're hitting, you know, you increased your new purchase order. They're going to make you sign something for it, of course, and that's okay. But then spend that marketing money wisely, because this shit's not getting any cheaper.
No, and look, I mean, everything's on the table, right? There's no question. I mean, you know, you don't get it if you don't ask. And so, you know, go into your OEMs and other partners and try to renegotiate those deals. You're right. I mean, you could do a stocking order and maybe you do it in advance of an expected price increase, right? And get it under the wire. I think the challenge right now with that is because of the regulatory changes, you know, the refrigerant's changing, right? And so manufacturers are winding down the 410A for 434 and 32. And so you got to be careful how much you buy, because they're not taking it back, right? So you have to balance. You got to balance some of that right now, which makes that a little bit more difficult, but certainly doable. And I think you got to look up. Honestly, you've got to look you've got to look up and down the P&L, right? You got to look up and down and look for areas that you could, you know, tighten the belt, right? I mean, you're not going to cut your way to prosperity by just, you know, you got to be focus on things that maybe you hadn't focused on before to make the business better, maybe better customer experience, work with your techs, look at overhead, look at costs. There's lots you can do to kind of to tweak the business to, which you should be doing anyway all the time, right?
Maybe you should be.
Maybe a little more sense of urgency now. I don't know.
Well, isn't it weird how a cash flow pinch can create that sense of urgency?
Right.
Well, you know, and then you bring up really good points like the blocking and tackling is again, maybe that's your plan right now. Is just working on the the basic fundamentals of the business and paying attention to the P&L a little bit closer than you have. And by the way, if you don't know how to read a P&L, don't let your pride get in the way of that. Get that shit fixed quick. Like get to somebody who can learn, who can teach you that. And that way you can understand it. It will help make you better.
Hire a really good controller or CFO, somebody that can teach you, how to read it and what it means. And, you know, someone who provides those insights too, sits down and gives you honest feedback on what's going on, what impacts what in the P&L and what you can do about it to influence those numbers.
Hey, Kenny, do you guys bring in anybody, in a leadership role from outside the industry to help with anything or to bring in their perspective? Have you guys done any of that stuff or done it successfully?
Consultants?
I just mean like anybody who's in leadership on the wrench side, has everybody come from within or have you brought in anybody from the outside?
We've had folks from outside. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Just for a different perspective. I remember hearing Goodrich talking about doing that, before, and just to have like a fresh perspective of, maybe how to lead something a little bit different. We don't know how it all pans out, but I'm just wondering if you guys have done the same thing.
It's always great to hire from within if and when you can, but it is, you know, but ultimately it's getting the right person in the right, on the right seat on the bus. And that's what it's all about. And you're only good as your team and your talent. And so you constantly have to be looking at that to make sure you have the right people. And as these businesses grow, I mean, you may plug somebody in at a business that's doing, you know, 20 million a year. Next thing you know, it's doing 50, 60. That person may not be skilled at running a business that big. It's different, right? Different challenges, different issues, different things to deal with. And so, yeah, we've hired a bunch, and that's one area that, you know, we've spent a lot of time and effort around hiring and retention. And so we've got a person that sits at the corporate level with about a dozen direct reports, and every location has at least one or two, depending upon the size, hiring managers. And we have full-time focus, shine a bright light on hiring. And as a result, we have zero issues finding people in our markets. Nobody likes to hire, right? I mean, it's got to be a full-time job for someone. It can't be kind of a side job for the service manager, because they're not going to do it. Then you're not going to be successful. So shine a bright light on it, and you shouldn't have any issues finding people if you do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, I guess if I'm out looking for something and I realize the leadership, you know, in the group and the market leadership and the, you know, in the wrench group, like it would be pretty appealing to go and be a part of that team, and learn from some new people. You know, one thing that I was going to bring up that I didn't when we were talking about just some of the different leaders at Wrench are, one thing I've noticed that is also consistent is a lot of these leaders are still trying to be students, you know, still trying to go and learn like Jonathan. It was so awesome to have him at the event. And I've never met him until the event. We've talked on the phone, but I've never met him. And I never got to go visit Morris Jenkins. I've had to compete against him, which sucks, but I've never got to meet Jonathan. But to have him tell me after the event was over, some of the things that he took away, Jonathan Bancroft went to this event, took some things away that he would go to implement. And, you know, and I've heard those things from multiple people who are, you know, exceptional leaders in the business already is, they're always students. Like they're still going and trying to learn new things. And I think that's pretty cool. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation.
Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp's deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. What if your customers could get instant estimates for HVAC systems, water heaters, or generators right from your website? With Contractor Commerce, companies like Peterman Brothers and over 100 Nexstar members are selling online 24/7. No coding, no hassle, just easy. It's built for contractors. It offers instant system quotes. You can launch a touch-free filter subscription and build real recurring revenue. Capture customers while they are researching and take them off the market for your competitors. If you're a Rhino client, setup is seamless. Over 100 Rhino clients have used Contractor Commerce before it was even popular. Get set up with e-commerce on your existing website today. Visit contractorcommerce.com. That's contractorcommerce.com to get started today.
I mean, look, you never stop learning. I don't care who you are and how old you are and what you're, you know, you can be the president of the United States. You can still have opportunity to learn. Nobody knows everything. And when you shut that down, I think that's not good. You know, Jonathan, for sure. You know, Kevin's the same way. You know, those guys have written books, they read books, and they're to your point, they're ongoing students. And they also, you know, they work, there's a lot of back and forth within Wrench Group, right? A lot of calls on various topics that guys will get on, and maybe it's a once a month team call on a specific subject, and it's led by Jonathan, or it's led by Paul, or it's led by Alan, or it's led by whoever. And, you know, you'd be surprised. You've got, you know, 30, 40, 50 people that attend, right, and listen from the experts who have. And so that goes back and forth. And so there's a lot of that at Wrench. It's been really the foundation of you know, who we are and where we came from.
We need to do one of those podcasts that's got those guys doing a training. That would be a bad podcast. Oh my God, that would be a hard one. It's already hard.
Too much testosterone for one meeting, I think.
Hey, it's basically like how I have to juggle Rhino X with all the personalities. Sure. I mean, but this is the gift I've been given, is I'm cut out for it. I know how to manage everybody, and it is not easy, as you can imagine, with all the AA types in there.
Ton of collaboration. So.
Right. Well, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. And Kenny, I always appreciate you giving me time. I understand the value of an hour of somebody's time, especially your time. So thank you again. And I'm grateful for, you know, our friendship and you just giving me the time to come and participate in the Rhino X events and not ask for anything in return. So thank you for that.
You didn't get my invoice?
I did get the invoice. You know what? If I did, it must have got lost. I'll take it as a credit. How about,
there you go.
Okay, so let me go ahead and finish with this. You know, and you've already given, you know, a lot of advice, because I'm going to basically ask you to give the listeners some advice who are still grinding out there. And maybe it's just a recap of some of the things that you had said. But, you know, I there's still plenty of people that are listening to this podcast with their whole intention is to learn from those who've been through it, and that can share some of the tactical things that they've done, you know, to make their businesses better, or something they're just not focused on, because, again, we only know what we know. But what would be some advice that you would give to listeners that are still out there, you know, grinding it out, trying to grow their companies? Like, this would be my last takeaway from Ken Haynes.
I mean, look, I think we've already covered it, but basically keep grinding. I mean, keep working on the business, you know, have that sense of urgency, you know, have the mentality that we're just going to get a little bit better every day. Focus on your customer, focus on your employees, do the right things. Treat the business as a person, as you treat people well, treat the business well, and just get better. I mean, I think COVID times were great. It's tougher now. You got to focus on things you didn't necessarily have to focus on before, right? It's gotten more expensive to operate. We've added overhead. I think it's just a matter of, I also think things are somewhat, what's the word? Sensationalized, perhaps, that maybe it seems worse than it is. So, don't drink the Kool-Aid, but just continue to work on the business, do the right things for the business as well as your team, and just get better every day. I mean, I think it sounds cliche. I think it's that simple, though. There's no silver bullets. There's no tricks. Even though Paul Kelly's got a book that says the tricks, but there's no tricks. It's hard work. It's getting the right people in the right places, holding people accountable, and just working on the business. It's that simple. A piece of cake, right?
Just that. Yeah. It's a piece of cake. Don't do that. And hope to God. I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs who probably have ADHD. I have ADHD, so maybe it's sometimes hard to focus. And if you have to calendar your day to focus on those different pillars, then calendar your damn day to focus on the pillars. And I'll piggyback on top of this and I say this all the time too, but don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, it's actually very responsible of you to ask for help if you don't know something. Like, let go of your pride.
Ask for help and learn how to adapt. I mean, it's you know, the one thing I think that people don't do enough is make an honest assessment of your business's strengths and weaknesses. Figure those out. Sit down and ask people what our strengths are. Sit down and ask people what your employees, what our weaknesses are, and then focus on both. Get better at the strengths and do more of those and fix the weaknesses.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I would even say I think you said this, do that assessment yourself and then ask your employees and see where the overlap is. Like, are you guys actually aligned on your strengths and weaknesses? Right. I think it's a good thing that we've done at Rhino to see, because then you kind of get some feedback from the staff too. Maybe it's looking at it from a different lens than you. I think it's always really good. It's just, again, let go of the pride and just know, like, letting go of your pride is a very responsible decision for the business. So, Kenny, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for making time.
Anytime, man. Don't be a stranger. Don't make me wait 3 years to come on again.
I know. God, man, what an asshole. Hey, real quick.
You were there, but,
I was thinking that you weren't going to say it out loud. It's okay. Last question I'm going to ask you. This is a super easy one. Every year I do the Rhino X, it's really hard to one-up myself every year. It's getting very difficult to continue to do more. Like, we brought in Coach Saban last year, which was awesome, and we had a concert at the end, but we have such great leadership in there. And it's, I'm so proud of the event because I'm able to bring all my relationships into one place and have them sit with all the contractors. It's what makes the event great because it's a more intimate setting. But I'm going to switch up how I do the Legends part of it this next year. It's going to be, because I've been doing the panels, like, I wanted to do something a little bit more. And what gave me the thought was what we did with PK and Jonathan Bancroft. And how they did, the fireside chat was really cool. And they got a lot of people saying, hey, I really, really loved the fireside chat. And I think that we can do some similar things like that. That will be more fun and even better experience. And I certainly would love to have you be a part of that. I know Kevin is coming to be a part of it too, but I'd love to have you back to be a part of it next year in February.
Send me the date. I'll get it on the calendar.
I'll text you. I appreciate it. Listeners, hopefully you took a lot away from this, because there's a lot of shit that I wrote down. And again, this is like one of the legends of the industry who's built a lot of businesses, worked a lot of the big businesses, but in the game a long time, shared a lot of information. Listen, some of the stuff you heard him say was just focused on the blocking and tackling, the basics. Like, let's get the COVID years out of our brains, because that ship has sailed.
Right.
Now it's looking, working back on our businesses again and focusing on them. So don't buy into the hype that everything is all doom and gloom. There's still plenty of very, very, very successful home services companies out there functioning right now. And so think about that, because it just might got a little bit harder, and you might have to ask for a little bit of help, right? So if you got, these amazing leaders in Wrench Group still kind of being students and trying to get better, you can do the same thing too. You're not above that. So again, lots of information in here, you know, paying attention to the P&L, trying to find coaches, asking for the help, all these things. I get it. It sounds like a lot, and it is, but you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No, 0 days.